This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. President Donald Trump has made good on his promise to militarize police departments around the country, ostensibly as a reward for the Fraternal Order of Police, one of his strongest campaign supporters. Under the previous administration, strong community pressure led President Obama to pass an executive order limiting the transfer of excess military equipment and weapons to law enforcement agencies around the U.S. And now Trump has reversed that order. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Police Department has been working to normalize the use of drones in the greater Los Angeles area. The Stop LAPD Spying Coalition is a local organization working to hold the department accountable and stop the deployment of drones. Joining me now is the coordinator of the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition, Hamid Khan. Welcome to the program, Hamid.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity, Sonali.
So let's first talk about the more national story and the sort of federal government's role in the militarization of police. How important was the victory that led to President Obama limiting excess military equipment from going to local police departments? We saw the photos that came out of Ferguson, Missouri, after the killing of Mike Brown, and these police officers that were so heavily armed that it looked even more dangerous than Iraq. And eventually, that sort of militarization was limited under Obama. How important was that?
Well, it's interesting, Sonali. As we are speaking, I can hear a police helicopter over my rooftop, so flying over. So it's an interesting point. I think it was there's a couple of ways to look at it, Sonali. That while it was important to send a message and build upon the narrative that has been building at least for the last 3 to 4 years about the militarization of police. But we also have to put it in the larger context of what are the different ways and how many sources of police militarization are there. So the Department of Defense 1033 program, which gives surplus equipment to local law enforcement agencies, is one piece in the much larger context of police militarization. There are billions and billions of dollars of grant money through the Department of Homeland Security that have been funneled through FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, into local law enforcement agencies. And these streams of monies are called the Urban Area Security Initiative, where law enforcement agencies can continue to buy weapons of their choice or whatever equipment they need. For example, the Los Angeles Long Beach area since 2003 has received close to over $950 million this is direct grant money that keeps on coming on an annual basis of about $60 to $70 million a year. So that is one thing that is happening. And then when we look at the restrictions that were placed, they were placed on equipments which really armored vehicles with tank treads, right? Looking at bayonets and grenade launchers. So yes, you're right that, you know, the way this has been escalating, these are more or less, tools for occupying armies and occupying forces. And this is exactly what is happening in Los Angeles. So the lifting of the ban, what it's doing is that for LAPD just recently announced that they're going to stick with the old rules that President Obama had set up. But at the same time, they've also once the equipment that we have becomes used too much or obsolete, then we'll have to replace them. There's a certain symbolism in these things as well, that we never get to the root cause. We don't look at the big picture and the larger landscape of police militarization with grant monies and funding and everything else. And in this case, we have to look at this again in the larger context of how Jeff Sessions announced 2 months ago of the scaling back of the oversight that had been established by the Department of Justice on several police departments as a result of the investigations. So the consent decrees, like what is happening to them? We have to look at President Trump speaking about a month ago and making a mockery of people's misery and saying that, you know, people, that the police should not hold back in using force. Right. And now this issue of Fraternal Order of Police giving away, you know, these gifts to some of the most murderous police departments in the country. Right now, the estimates are that every 7 hours and 11 minutes, somebody is being murdered by police in the United States. And these are numbers that are being gathered by various agencies that investigate. There's a group called killedbypolice.net, Washington Post, The Guardian. They have been doing these assessments too. So I think going back on a national level, what we are seeing is that there is that while there's symbolism and then there's all of these, but yet at the same time the escalating militarization continues. I mean, the escalating militarization through when we are looking at the advancements in technology, and we shouldn't just limit our understanding to this by the overt expression and the overt show of weaponry, like right. grenade launchers and tanks.
So it's not just the Hummers and the tanks and the riot gear. It's also in the context of immigration policy and through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which of course comes into play when we think of the flooding in Houston and the pulling back of oversight, federal oversight of law enforcement agencies. And that's that all points to this direction that the Trump administration is taking, where police are the good guys, everybody else, especially, quote, urban communities, which is euphemistic or code for black folks and people of color. Those are the potential criminals, right? That the tough on crime attitude has to be resumed, that they feel has gone by the wayside, even though President Obama is quite friendly to police.
Well, I mean, and then let's look at and I was going to speak about technology a little bit, the massive architectures of surveillance that work in conjunction. So what sort of conditions on the ground are being created where contact happens with individuals? For example, predictive policing in Los Angeles and all around the country. We are hearing more and more about these fancy predictive algorithms and risk assessment tools and
facial data. Recognition technology, right?
Facial recognition technology, biometrics, you know, just artificial intelligence. So we have to really look at this much bigger picture and this total landscape. And what we see is incredible expansion of police powers, the much more day-to-day routine operationalization of a police state, and then, you know, just the direct, you know, and I think in the larger context of what you were saying about urban communities, it's a pathologizing of these communities, that there is that the criminality of the communities is already predetermined. So, and that's what leads to these risk assessment tools. So the information that goes into setting up programs by LAPD like Operation Laser, which is the Los Angeles Strategic Extraction and Restoration Program, which is right out of Iraq and Afghanistan. These, all of these things have been built on the battlefront. And then when you go out, even during political activity, it's not only Humvees, but tools like Freedom on the Move that comes directly from Afghanistan.
Freedom on the Move?
Yeah, these are like these monitoring devices, which have these you know, these tube-like things that come out of when you would think of a submarine, and they're around in these vehicles, and they're scanning, and they have facial recognition technology, they have extremely high-definition cameras. So the tracing and tracking and monitoring of individuals is really the big story, and we have to call it what it is, that we live in a stalker state, that how people are being traced and tracked and stalked.
Right. And we're not even talking about how private corporations do that. That's a subject of a whole nother conversation. But in this particular context of law enforcement, that's definitely happening. Let's talk about drones in LA. Drones are deployed, you know, when we talk about drones on our program, the most familiar context is in a war zone to drop bombs. But drones are, of course, also quite versatile. Photographers use them to get great photography over the ocean, but police departments like to use them here in the United States as well. Amazon.com would like to use them to deliver packages to people's doorsteps. What is the LAPD interested in doing with drones?
Well, so before I go to that, you mentioned dropping bombs during war. Well, it's not too far from now that's going to be happening in the U.S., and the reason is why here. That the state of North Dakota, in August of 2015, passed legislation where police drones can be equipped with non-lethal weapons, with tasers, with rubber bullets, pepper spray, and tasers kill about on an average of 50 to 60 people a year, so they're not non-lethal. The state of Connecticut this year has been discussing in their legislature of arming police drones with lethal weapons, right? So I think it's not too far off that we would seeing these things. So I think in Los Angeles, again, putting this in the larger context of the expansion of police powers and the police state, what is happening is that because of technology, because of these cost-benefit analysis, we are seeing this rush of these police departments building their air forces. That is what's going on. LAPD has one of the largest fleets of helicopters of any police agency in the country.
Like the one that was just flying over your head.
Yeah. And they just, in May, in the city of Sunland, just right next to Burbank, the LAPD threw a high-powered rifle from their helicopter, shot and killed somebody. So this is happening. So what is happening with LAPD is that they got two drones back in May of 2014 from Seattle, the Dragonfire Flyer X6 drones, and they got them because the people in Seattle rose up, and they rejected the use of drones, so Seattle was forced to get those drones out of there. Well, next thing you know, LAPD gets them as a gift. But we immediately launched a campaign, the Drone Free LAPD, No Drones LA, and you were gracious enough to bring us on your show, and we talked about it 3 years ago. And as a result of people power, the drones were grounded. They were never allowed to fly, and they were placed under a lock and key at the LAPD Inspector General's office. Well, 3 years later now, taking the lead from the LA Sheriff's Department, who launched their drone this year in January, which again, we are fighting them and demanding that they be grounded. The LAPD again recently announced in August. So now where the situation is that the LAPD is doing its supposedly this sham and community outreach, it's trying to draft some policy, but we are, and so that they're gonna bring it to the police commissions for an approval to launch a pilot program. We are completely rejecting this thing, and we're asking that people should really just rise up, because when you look at, again, the trauma, that it's not only about the battlefront, but communities in Los Angeles have been traumatized by the ghetto bird, the helicopter. You know, when you go into South Central Los Angeles, when you go into the East Side, when you go into Central Los Angeles, you know, these are tools that have been harassed and intimidated and target people. So the issue of trauma and the impact on children needs to be brought into the conversation. Then we are looking at the issue of distrust, that how, and LAPD recently had some community meetings on drones, and it kept on coming over and over again that people don't trust the LAPD. Then we're looking at mission creep, because we are reminded of when the LAPD started its SWAT program back in the early 60s. It was the same argument that it's going to be used under special circumstances, under hostage situation, this is for officer safety, blah, 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 and now we see SWAT being used as, you know, just a no-knock, low-level drug offenses, where children as young as 6 months old have been asphyxiated because of smoke bombs and have died as well, and people's lives have been devastated. So mission creep becomes a really critical piece as well. So in essence, what we are seeing is this convergence of these types of military-style technology, the hardware, the tactics and practices like predictive policing, like suspicious activity reporting, putting them in conjunction with body cameras, when we are looking at you know, real-time facial recognition, biometrics, and artificial intelligence. So this is what high-tech warfare looks like. This is what an occupying army would do, which is equipped with extremely high level of technology.
Hamid, what do you recommend ordinary people do, not just those in LA around the drone situation, but on this broader push that you laid out for us? Because there are so many different pathways towards the police becoming stronger and stronger, which of course is a genuine threat to democracy. What are the sorts of things that you suggest people do to try to take this on?
Well, I think the first thing what people need to do is to just start asking questions from their elected officials about police funding, for example. I think that is really where our fight is, because we come from the framework of abolishing policing as we know it. And that requires a disinvestment in policing and investment in our communities. So, for example, I mean, I'll give you one small example, that the LA city of LA gives $100 million in homeless services, but out of that, $87 million goes to the LAPD. So I think these are the deeper questions that people should ask. Then they should also just ask and demand demand that what is the equipment, where is the equipment? I mean, like, what is the different fundings? Where is it coming from? What is the grant monies that to the Department of Homeland Security? And basically start organizing because, you know, just these are tactics and programs that are continue to escalate. LAPD is one of the most murderous police departments in the country. On one hand, we have this notion that when somebody is killed by the cops, it's called justifiable homicide. That by itself is really a very morbid thing to even think about. And then when you see that, you know, there is no resolution, there is no reparations for the people, I think this is time that people really need to rise up and people need to start asking questions and start building power and organizing.
Hamid, give out a website where people can find out more, any social media links where people can follow the work that you do with the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition.
Absolutely. So our website is Stop LAPD Spying, www.stoplapdspying.org. That's one word, stoplapdspying.org. We are on Facebook. We're also on Twitter as well. And our email is stoplapdspying@gmail.com. What we are also asking people, Sonali, just a quick shout out that this drone fight is heating up. Look for the meetings, come and join the fight. And we're asking one thing, if people, because LAPD is asking people to give their opinion about the drones. So there's an email address, if I can announce that, that is SUAS, which is small unmanned aerial systems. So S is in Sam, U is in uniform, A is in Apple, and S is in Sam, at lapd.online, SUAS at lapd.online. Please send them an email and let them know that you reject the use of drones. Just keep it very simple and let LAPD know what the people of Los Angeles think about it.
We'll post a link to that email address on our website later today so that our audience can participate if they want. Thank you so much, Hamid, for the work that you're doing, for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Sonali. Good talking
to you. My guest is Hamid Khan. He's the coordinator of the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition. We've been discussing Donald Trump's militarization of police forces and related issues. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.